Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. Today is Friday, July 14th, 2017, and we are here joined with by none other than former Game of the Year, Pihan.
Yo, what's up everyone?
For another one of our podcasts, and we have to first off apologize that it has been so long since our last podcast. We've had a ton of people asking when's the next one. And there has just been so much going on, we just have not been able to take the time to do it. And now, the problem is that there's way
too many things to cover now.
Yeah, there's going to be some stuff we're just going to have to gloss over. So sorry about that, and we're going to really try to keep on top of things. But there is so much to cover.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, where do you want to start?
I can go over some scoring highlights.
Let's start with scoring.
All right, there's a few that I can just pull up that have happened in the last couple weeks that I want to give shout-outs for. So Jeremiah just set a new house high on Bang Panic, 627,000.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I watched him play it. It's been... he limits himself to, like, one game a day.
Oh, that's cool. And so he's always fresh.
He's fresh, and that's awesome. Great score.
Yep. So in the last couple weeks, Steven Lucas came out and put up a bunch of scores. I just want to give him a shout out. He did a couple that are still standing. A few of them have since fallen, but his Dengar UFO Robo score is still up. His Terra Cresta score is still up. He's got his Real Ghostbuster score is still standing. There's probably another one that I'm missing. There's probably actually one or two that I'm missing, but I just want to give him a shout out for coming in. He put up a bunch of scores in the couple days he was here.
Yeah, very impressive. And always great to have him in, because he knows some scores are going to change hands.
Oh yeah, every time he's here. We had Brian Shillow just put up a new NARC score, 2.2 some million.
Yep, that was awesome to see that. Congrats to him. We got the original board set back in to NARC, so
a lot of people are looking to play that.
Yeah.
We had also Max Horaski put up a new house high on Popeye. He's going to eventually be going for that world record. He put up a house high just under 700,000, which is huge. He beat a Ben Falls score from a few years back.
That's really impressive.
Of course, we can't forget Austin Swan with his Sinistar score.
Yeah.
That was an incredible game, which is on our YouTube channel. 371,000 on Sinistar is insane. That game is pretty tough.
Yeah, that's...
Again, he's actually amazing. At the arcade right now playing, so he's going to try to top it.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. We have a couple more house highs I want to mention real quick. Matt Walters had a new house high on the end. Mm-hmm. Chris?
Matt Walters has been doing some pretty impressive stuff.
Some damage lately, yeah. Just until Jeremiah just beat it. He had the Bank Panic house high. He did the Night Driver world record a month or so ago.
Cuber Cubes. Working on that.
Reactor he was working on. Yeah. I think he took Reactor, actually.
Yeah.
He's been on a roll lately.
That's awesome.
Oh, Gap Plus also.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gap Plus, he beat Fred Oak's score. So he's been really tearing it up lately.
Yeah, it's great watching him. It's good seeing him around so much more lately. And again, you can tell by the scores.
Yeah, definitely. There's, of course, Zerst did a lot of damage when he came here for the Shmups tournament.
Yes.
We saw new house highs on, I want to say, Espegluda, Deathsmiles, Hellfire, and there's like one or two more from the tournament that he tapped. The Japanese version of ZXX he put up a new score on. He's always putting up scores when he's here. Yeah, so
just super impressive.
ZER stands for destruction.
Yeah.
A score. On 8-Man, we had Chris Blackie upped his own world record.
Yeah.
He had 370,000. I think he upped it to 375 recently.
That's so awesome.
He's still playing it, which is cool to see. He's really getting into it still.
Yeah, Chris is definitely stepping up in a short amount of time. He's been putting up a lot of really good scores and going after like some impressive stuff too. Like it's gonna take him.
Yeah, I like that when someone just because someone sees a high score, they're not discouraged. Like when I 1cc'd that game, like I know a lot of people that are like, oh, he 1cc'd it. What can I do? It's like, well, he looked at my video and saw what he can do to improve, and he improved on it.
Right.
So, you know, more power to him for that.
It's awesome.
Yeah. There's a few other ones from way back that I want to give some shout-outs for.
You've had a bunch. I know you did eSWAT. Mm-hmm. You had 1cc on that.
Yeah.
And put up a new world record. Mercs, you max a score out, and once you see that, what else? Shinobi, you got the 1cc and a new world record on that.
Yeah, Julian Rodriguez, though, currently has a higher score on that by like 900 points. He came back, I think, a week or two after that. So I want to give him a shout-out, too, for a great score.
Yeah.
We also had a two-player run on Mercs, me and Jamie. That was cool to get the 1cc with two players. We did that back in May. We had two Tigers, a massive world record of 1.5 million by Mitch Carbon. That was a score from 85 that he beat, so it was a long-standing world record. Another one that I really wanted to point out was Zaxxon, our new Zaxxon House High by Joe Drnovich. He's over a million now. It's like 1.1 million.
So. Joe, it's unbelievable watching him play.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's an incredibly hard game. If you haven't played Zaxxon, play it the next time you're in, and you'll see that even getting 10,000 in that game is not easy.
Right.
Do you have any other scores you wanted to point out?
I know James White did made huge progress in his bubbles score.
Yes.
Back at MGC, he had upped it, and then he came in.
Oh, he upped it again, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, I forgot.
So, shout-outs to him. I think Jamie did a 1cc and got a new world record on Chimera Beast, Jamie Tibbetts.
He did 1cc. He's like at 92 million, which is near the max. 99 million is the max.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's very impressive.
We can't forget James White, though, with his Super Pac-Man House High.
Mm-hmm.
That was recently that he did that. I think it was a Ben Fall score that
that he
beat.
That he took out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? Man, I'm really sorry if we missed your score on here. You know, if you did it in the last few months and we missed it, I apologize. But there is just so much in the way of scoring that people have been doing. And there's so many incredible scores that we wanted to... just say everyone congrats for coming out, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. The scoring community is, it's so much fun, and we're always trying to get more people involved in it. And again, we've been, I don't even know if we've, have we talked about the Orcade purchase?
No, we have not.
Wow.
Not officially.
That is, well, the scoring community for us has always been kind of centered around Orcade, which is our scoring house. We recently purchased that from David Hernley, the original creator and founder of Orcade, and we have been in the works of redoing the whole site and adding so much more to it, and we really hope to use that as a launch point to get a lot more people into the scoring community. We want to set a new standard in submitting scores and having them verified and approved.
More locations, too.
We want to get as many locations involved as possible and get a lot more referees. And I think once the site is ready, I think it's going to be really impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes. That's all we can say right now.
Yeah, it's coming soon. Yeah. It will definitely not disappoint anyone, and we really want to make it literally the new benchmark of scoring. Mm-hmm. We have literally hundreds of world records that have happened here, and we want to just grow upon that and expand it and make it more inclusive, which is one of the things that David Hernley always wanted. That it be very inclusive, and we are all about that. And just want to get working with more locations, but also make it more. The strictness and the scrutiny that we want these scores to be held up to is going to be high. Like,
yeah, and I think some people might initially be discouraged by that, but I want to make sure that people understand what we're doing with that is to. So there's never going to be any dispute, or I mean, if there is a dispute, we're going to be able to look at it right away and say, no, this is legit, that's not. We want to be transparent and have records, like all of our world records we want to have film footage of.
Absolutely.
So I would say to the regulars, get in the habit, even if it's, you know, if you're not going for the score, you might want to film it anyway.
We just picked up more cameras here.
Yes.
And
just got two new GoPros, so... We got some ones that are going to last us a while. They have the shot cases. They're actually waterproof, so even if you, for some reason, spill on it, which you shouldn't, it'll be fine.
Awesome. Very happy that we have that. And as the owners of Orcade, we need to figure out ways to help other arcades progress and get involved in it. And it's we're right now we have our Quadcade tournament running, which Pixel Blast is and Underground Retrocade are both well versed in Orcade, yep. But Chicago Street Pinball hasn't
done. Are they new to Orcade? They've never put scores.
They've never put scores in. I've been talking with Mark about that earlier today and getting him up to speed. And
cool.
It's one of those. It is a process. We've been getting tons of people that say they want to use Orcade and how do they go about it. And we're more than happy to get people involved now, but if there'll be another whole new process that happens.
So the learning's going to happen again once the relaunch happens?
Yeah.
Okay. So should people contact you in the meantime? Or?
Absolutely. Like, okay. They can hit me up on Facebook or email at ghostlord@gallopingghost.com.
Cool.
And we can get them moving towards using Orcade.
Yeah, because there, I mean, just, you know, signing on and having an account at Orcade's not all there is to it. Like, we have to make sure you're on the correct settings. We have to make sure that, you know, you're going to know what to look for when people are submitting scores. There's a lot that has to happen before you just sign up and put in your first score.
Absolutely.
So we want to make sure you have that all that out of the way first.
Like, we take the world record term very seriously, and it's something that's hard to kind of validate just because there's scores. A world record should be the highest score in the world as long as it meets the certain set of criteria. We want to reach out to a lot more locations that are known for scoring and acknowledge scores that are verifiable and get all those into the system as well.
Cool. So you're talking about, like, Japanese scores?
Japanese scores, anything that we can, we're going to go through every machine. We're going to come up with some new rule sets for some games, which we might start looking at either having to do new tracks or
different settings.
Yeah. But we want to make it to where scoring is fun. It's not just padding and leeching for points and grinding out, but we want to make it a little bit flexible where some of the stuff, like, we want to also show the skill behind the game and not just sitting in a certain level padding for points. So there's a lot of games that we'll be talking about right out of the gate that are prime examples, and we'll get to that when the time comes. But it's as long as it's a score that's verifiable and we'll acknowledge it, and I think that's the best way to go about it.
Cool. And are you against including emulation scores, or is it just going to be arcade only?
We are sticking to arcade hardware only. I've already had people ask about what about on home cabinets and all these different things. And
it's just going to be done in arcades?
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of a process. Like, we want to make sure that we're doing this for the people that play for scores. So there's... we have to take things into consideration, but we also have to make sure that it maintains its credibility.
Okay.
So it'll be a process, and we'll deal with things as the issues arise.
Okay.
We want to keep everything very fair and inclusive, but at the same time, we do have strict guidelines that we want to follow and maintain to maintain the credibility of the site.
Cool. Excellent. All right, so we touched briefly on the Quadcade tournament. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, there was we wanted to run an event that spanned and included and showed the unity of the arcade, of all the arcades.
We got a great scene here.
We really do. Yeah. It's unbelievable how you can see our players at Underground Retrocade or Pixel Blast or wherever they're going, and that's just really awesome. Pixel Blast had their 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, it was really cool seeing all the daddies over there at one time.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so cool that they're not, like, having players that like a place that they play is great. But the fact that they're friends outside and they go places together and other arcades, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. It's very high scores are very competitive, but it's just it's not the competition part. It's
It's a camaraderie.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean that's why you see them all like we'll gather at Tony's, like, you know, sometimes after the mystery game or whatever. It's like it's cool just to talk to these people about the games that we're playing.
Absolutely.
That's one of the best parts of it.
And that goes with the owners too. There's a Facebook group for just owners of active arcades and stuff, and Scott and Trickman and Paul and Mark are all part of that, and that's there's a really solid group between the arcade owners as well. And this was something that we kind of discussed, and it happened. It went together very quick.
Yeah.
And it was we had wanted to do it a while back, and again, so many things going on. But happy to have it going on in the summer. I think a lot of people are going to get involved, and we saw a few of our regulars here already today. And we hope everybody travels around, checks out the other arcades.
Yep, it runs for 2 weeks, so you don't have to do it right away.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, just go over there, you put in whatever score you're comfortable with, and we'll enter it. And there's going to be a grand champion, right?
Yeah.
Is there going to be location champions or just one grand champion?
It's, I believe, just going to be a grand champion. Mm-hmm. We're trying to come up with, we're going to do a winner's plaque.
Cool.
And we'll make one for each of the locations involved, so they can have that on display and show that off. And we're going to have some other prizes that we haven't specifically mentioned, but it's going to be well worth people's times to go and play at the other locations. And you only qualify, there's four games at each of the four locations, so 16 games total.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty solid selection of games.
Yeah, I was going to say, the variety is really nice in this tournament.
And that was the cool thing about having Chicago Street involved with it out in Joliet. Like, they're all pins.
Yes.
So, like, how it's going to be awesome.
It's a very diverse tournament.
Yeah. Going to be a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoys it. We know it's not the easiest thing for everybody to travel out to other locations, but it's about supporting one another. And
we can always arrange carpools. We were talking about maybe getting a group together and going all at once.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that, talk to Doc or me, and we'll set that up.
Yeah, that's, I think that, I hope, gets a lot of people involved. Just, it's all about having fun and checking out all the arcades that are out there.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So, we really, oh, you know what, the one next note there. We did a gamer profile. Last one we did it was on Tim Foley.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what our gamer profiles are, we sit you down, put you in the spotlight, ask you a bunch of questions, put you in the hot seat. We like to highlight the players here, so everyone that doesn't come here and doesn't know the gamers can kind of get to know who are the regulars and what do they like to play, what do they get into, how do they get into games. And Tim's, well, I'll put a link to his in the description, but we'll also, we're looking to do more of them. So if you would like to have your own gamer profile video, talk to Doc or me. We'll set it up.
And we've been talking with Chris about doing one. I think he really should do one. And,
yeah, Chris definitely should.
Absolutely.
Anyone else you think we should do one on?
Marco.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of people. Even some of the older ones maybe we should revisit, because
there's new information.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's been some of them, it's been a couple of years since they filmed.
That's true. Excellent. We finally decided on our next swap meet date.
Yes.
We're going to be doing one August 19th.
Yes.
Which is a little more than a month away. Just after, what is it?
It's the 13th is our anniversary.
It is our anniversary, so it's the week after our anniversary.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a lot of events coming up, and that's one of them.
Yeah. The calendar is looking very, very full.
Yeah.
Again, some of the stuff that we've mentioned, like obviously Combat Con's out there.
What's the date on that? September?
September 23rd.
3rd, okay.
We've mentioned Developers Day on August 12th. We've got our GG anniversary, 7 years.
7 years, nice.
August 13th. And that will also be the day we announce our new Gamer of the Year. That's mm-hmm. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then what else we have? August 5th is our first Dark Presence Day here at the arcade.
And that's going to be playable for the general public?
Yep.
Nice.
We'll have 5 playable characters. Trenton, Vale, Wilson, Ravana, and Titan. So we've been working very... just everybody here is working so hard to get that out. I've fallen behind. I got to get some music recorded for it very soon. But between everything going on, it's crazy here.
Yeah, there's always something going on. I mean, that's why it's been so hard to record, because there's just, you're being pulled so many different ways.
Yeah.
But yes, it's going to be an exciting time coming up soon.
Yeah. On top of it, we'll probably, we have a big venture that will be, we'll be talking more about it very soon, but we have the Galloping Ghost Gamma opening. G-A-M-A. Which,
what does that stand for? Or can you say?
I won't say just yet, but stay tuned to the Facebook page, because we'll be making an announcement very soon.
Cool.
And a new Galloping Ghost venture.
Nice.
Starting up.
Excellent.
Another ghost logo will be flying on Ogden Avenue.
Okay, cool. All right, so we've got a few events that have happened that we want to touch on briefly. Just the weekend before last, we had a new arcade open in Wisconsin. What city was it? Is it Brookfield, Wisconsin, or is it Menominee?
Brookfield, Wisconsin is where MGC is.
Oh, that's right. That's where it is. So what city was this in? Is it Menominee?
Yes.
I want to say it is. I'll look it up real quick.
Okay. It is the Garcade.
Yep. The Garcade. Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Yes. Huge shout-outs to them. Gar, who has been working on opening for a bit, he finally had his grand opening. And as always, there was a lot of support shown for him. Jeff Lee, creator Qbert, artist on Qbert, went out there.
You were there.
I was there. Jeremy Fox was there. Mm-hmm. Scott Lambert was out there. Just such a...
I think a couple of our regulars went out there. I think Catherine might have been there. I think George might have been there, too.
Yeah, I know George had gone out there to help work on some of the cabinets,
cool.
I believe, but right before they opened and stuff. And again, that's how the arcade community is now. It's everybody's showing support and going out there. Oh, the Cosmotron guys were out there.
Yes, that's right. Forgot about that.
And huge shout-outs to those guys, because their game is looking great. Very anxious. We're in discussions with them for some cool stuff going on. Cool. So,
possibly coming here?
Definitely coming here.
Okay, cool.
We're negotiating things to get a cabinet here full time, and just check them out for sure. Go to their Facebook page. Hopefully you can put a link to them in the notes. Because I really want to show our support for those guys, and I can't wait to have them out here.
Excellent. Well, speaking of new games coming out, we should mention Skycursor is now available to the public.
Yes.
So their pre-order period has ended, and I think they're going to be doing a second run, but Skycursor is on release now.
Yeah.
And they just added the fourth level that downloaded to our system within the last week, I think.
It might be actually 2 weeks.
It might be a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure, but yeah, it's been a little bit. So yeah, I guess it's fully complete now?
I don't know if it's fully complete. I don't think it is.
Well, they can always adjust things on the fly with their system.
For sure.
Yeah, which is the nice thing about
this level, it just connected over
it's like Wi-Fi, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, your new level's there. I'm like, oh, cool.
Nice.
Make
it nice and easy.
They've made a lot of new updates and balances, mm-hmm. and even the earlier levels were revisited, and there's some new artwork that they've put in, and Chris and they've been working so hard on that. And the game, beautiful looking game.
Yes.
So, I think Stephen Lucas was spent a little bit of time on it when he was here.
Yep. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I think the leaderboards update are globally now. Like when it downloads it like everyone's leaderboard, so you can see like where you are like everywhere.
I know there's a 1.4 million score that came out of Japan.
Yeah, is that the world record then?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. We're looking at, we haven't talked to the Griffin Aerotech guys in a little bit, but we're looking at getting that integrated into Orcade eventually.
Oh, cool.
And same thing with Cosmotrons. And we've kind of briefly touched on it, and it's something that, how cool would that be if leaderboards can just update?
Just like pull the data and come right in, and yeah, then it's there.
Yep.
Nice. That would be really cool. So we also we wanted to take time to talk about T20, our yearly tournament.
Yes, the T20 tournament 20, 20 games. Yep. Always our this will be the third one.
Yes.
And the T20 belt will be back.
Up for grabs.
Up for grabs again.
Of course, Zerst is the current champion.
Yes.
Everyone knows Zerst, and if you know games.
Yes. looking, we'll probably have it down here again at the production offices, and are very anxious for it. It's
so the dates are September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and that is right before Labor Day. So that's a weekend off for a lot of people, so we wanted to make it convenient so most people have the next day off. So we're hoping a lot of people can come out to this. We're hoping to get a lot of participation. And there's going to be a pretty nice prize package, I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's going to be $500 to the first place winner.
Wow.
And $200 to the second.
Mm-hmm.
And $100 for third place.
Cool.
And we're going to be announcing, there'll be a pre-registration. It'll probably be, I think, I'd have to look at what we have down. I think it's $40 if you pre-register.
Normal is 50.
Yeah.
And that gets you into the arcade for 3 days, so it's a better deal just to do that, do the registration.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're paying $20 a day, you'll pay $60 instead. But there's a couple other.
We're gonna have some cool prizes.
Things happening too, right?
Yeah. There's. We're kind of going back and still dialing in what everybody, all the information that we have from the previous ones. Like some people like a lot of the extra events that we had going on.
Yeah, some people found them like distracting. Some people were like, oh, it was awesome. I got to do two things when I was here.
Yeah.
So we're trying to see what we can do to make the event everything that everyone wants it to be.
Right. But definitely there'll be some new games added to the floor for it. And it's going to be a good one. We really, like the last one was the number of participants was not massive by any means.
But I thought it was I think it ran pretty smoothly though.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the scores, all the scores were so solid. It was.
Like 1, 2, and 3 were like, for most games, were like neck and neck.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to see.
It was definitely a fun time.
Yep. Are we announcing the other things first place is getting?
The other things first place is getting. Oh, yes.
Yes.
That would be, we're going to include a year membership.
Yep.
So while you are the T20 member, T20 champion.
Come back all year.
You know, come back anytime.
Yep.
For a year.
And that's pretty awesome.
And I think this year's Gamer of the Year will also receive that.
Cool.
We'll also receive a year membership.
That's pretty cool. There's also a belt that Zerst is currently in possession of.
Yep.
That he'll have to relinquish when the tournament starts.
Yes.
But you also get that on top of your year membership and your cash.
Yes. There'll definitely be some other cool stuff too.
Yeah, I think maybe we should do like a door raffle or something, just something that anyone can win.
That'd be cool. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do one of the Qbert statues or one of the other cool things that we have around here.
Yeah.
So
definitely we want everyone to play in T20. We're trying to get the amount of participation up. So if there's anything that you think we should know or that would help, just let us know. Drop us a line. But I want to let people know that I think it's really important to play in these tournaments, even if you have no aspirations of winning. I think these are the some of the most connecting events. Like, if you want to just connect with your fellow gamers, tournaments are the way to do it. Like, that's where you talk to people you never met before, play games you never met before. You can see how an expert approaches a game when he has a limited amount of time to learn it, and that'll make you better.
Absolutely.
I mean, I use this as an example. I was just talking to Doc about this. Like, I went to Ghost Battle Series every week, like, knowing my chances of winning were probably less than 1%, playing against 16-bit and Dizzy and all those, you know, the great players. But I went because I wanted to get better, and I did get better because of it. You know, I'm definitely a much better player for playing in these tournaments. You know, it calms down your nerves. You get much less nervous playing under pressure when you're playing in a tournament because you get used to that pressure. So I really hope to see everyone out there.
Absolutely. And also, a lot of it ends up being more than just playing the games, and the social aspect of it is...
It's pretty awesome.
It is. Like you said, even Monday Mystery Game, like, usually everybody ends up at Tony's, mm-hmm. and you're talking, and it's just a good time.
Yeah, we're talking games, talking about what are we going to play next, like, how do you beat this guy, how do you beat this score, you know, it's a lot of stuff. It just, I don't know, it feels very community-driven at that point.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome. I like to be part of that.
Yeah. And even for people that are definitely coming, try to see if... bring your friends.
Mm-hmm.
See if they'll get into it. Like, it's been so interesting to see so many different people get into scoring for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, some people come in, they know one game, and they put up a score, they're like, well... What's to stop you from putting in a score in another game?
Right.
Like, if you
right.
know the one game, you can learn some other games.
Absolutely. And again, it's definitely not just about world records and the house high and all that stuff. It's just fun.
It's fun seeing how much you can improve on what you've done. That's why Orcade's cool, because it doesn't have to be a world record to put it on Orcade. Just put up whatever you get. Mm-hmm. It tracks it, and then when you come in next time, you know where to start from.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole thrill of scoring. It's like beating your personal best.
Yeah,
I think that's the best challenge, is beating yourself.
Absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, enough on T20. We covered that.
We will be making a large Facebook post about that.
Yep.
Very soon, and putting the link to the registration and everything. So stay tuned for that.
Cool. All right. So we've got a few other. Actually, quite a few other things. We spoke briefly about the statues. Let's talk about our statues that we had done for MK.
Oh man, we've been with Combat Con coming up. We've been pushing our sculptor Chris Elizardo quite a bit since MGC. Wow, we have to go back quite a ways. Mm-hmm. MGC, we unveiled the Rich DiVizio MK1 Kano, which. Really awesome.
Yep.
Right around that time, we also had Daniel Piscina's MK1 Ninja with Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Reptile. Then not too long ago, we had Brian Glenn, Shao Kahn, was here, and we were able to present him with his statue, which...
I like that the helmet comes off. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was... we started talking, and it was like... these are paying tribute to the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial thought was like, oh, well, just do Shao Kahn. And then, but then I was like, but you don't know that's Brian Glenn.
You don't see his face. Yeah.
You don't see his face.
Right.
So we had Chris sculpt it so the helmet came off, and it turned out just amazing. It's mm-hmm. I think that's probably my favorite of all of them so far. And just... so much detail, and the fact that it's Shao Kahn, it's a little larger.
Yeah, I like that he's taller than everyone. It's
yeah.
pretty cool.
He should be. Very much so.
Yeah.
But it turned out really good. We've already got, let's see, the next statue that we haven't announced or shown yet is off being painted right now.
Is there any information that you're willing to divulge?
It is an MK... The next two are MK1 characters.
Okay.
So we're trying to finish out the MK1.
Mm-hmm.
So we just did two characters from MK1. And
two from MK2.
Then we're going to do two more from MK2 before hopefully before Combat Con. Because It's definitely a lot of sculpting work and.
Yep. Now, are all those still going to be available to the public if they want to buy one?
For right now, yes. What we're working on doing is we might expand the production a little bit and do a few more so we can bring the cost down.
Right.
The people that have already bought them, we don't want to. We're not just lowering the price and making them less exclusive, so we'll be doing some sort of credit system for the people that have already purchased them. So if they're purchasing the Shao Kahn, for example, if we're able to get the price down by $100, they would get a $100 credit towards the next statue.
Oh, cool.
So we want to make sure that we're fair and nobody's upset about the production being expanded. And expanding the production run, these are super limited to begin with.
You're talking like 10 or 15, right?
Yeah. There's 10 that are in the numbered series. And there's the prototype. It started with, there was 5 of the prototypes.
Okay.
And the sculptor got one, I got one, the recaster got one, and the actor got one. So it's, but of the numbered ones, I think we might extend it to possibly like 20 or 25. So definitely still very low numbers,
mm-hmm.
Very exclusive. So we hope people have been liking those, and we're going to keep going with them.
Cool. If people always see them in the case at the arcade, and they're like, wow, those are cool. We get a lot of comments on them.
Well, it's definitely a lot of work making sure they look like the actor, and
mm-hmm.
they're definitely fun to work on with Chris and Ken and Denise, are the woman that paints them. So,
cool. All right, what should we talk about next?
Your choice.
My choice. Let's talk about Battle of the Arcades.
Battle of the Arcades.
It was like more than 2 months ago. Battle of the Arcades, man. I want to say, like, I had a very fun time setting up and running the stream. And I want to thank all of our guys for coming out. But
yeah,
you know what? We got beat pretty bad.
Yeah, well,
I shouldn't say that. The other teams were just so good.
The other teams are really good. These games are not our wheelhouse games for our players.
They're not.
It's, like, the game selection is limited to what everybody else has access to.
Mm.
And, like, it's just not, those games were not what our players spend a ton of time on.
Yeah.
Like, there was...
There's, like, no shmups.
No shmups.
No fighting games.
No fighting games. Like,
not even a beat-em-up, yeah.
No. It's, like, it was definitely a lot of fun. Hopefully next time, we can have, it just felt very unbalanced.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
It was...
I saw that from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, but it was definitely fun. I was the Ken Cade, Richie Knuckles.
And, Arcade 2084.
And Arcade 2084, which unfortunately...
I think they just announced, yeah.
Yeah, they just announced that they're going to be closing their doors, which is... I haven't spoken much to them, but huge shout-outs to them for everything that they've done. And
participating in BODA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had a great team.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a really fun time putting that stream together. I loved it.
It was a long tournament.
Yeah.
Like, even back then, we mm-hmm. there's so much going on behind the scenes that any event is always kind of taxing right now. But that was definitely a really fun one.
Yeah. I like that one because our players, like, most of the time they're at each other's necks for their scores, but this is the time where they're like really supporting each other, like,
right.
James, we know you got this, keep going. And yep. You know, seeing everyone, you know, applaud James for his Donkey Kong 3 run was pretty cool. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, like, and I think everybody played excellently. Mm-hmm. Like,
special shout out to Tibbetts, made top 10 overall.
Yeah, that's very impressive. That is excellent.
And that field of competition, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But we look forward to the next one. Hopefully it happens more frequently.
It was like a few years since the last one, right?
Yep.
Like 3? Something like that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, and even now, I know Ken and Richie have a lock on the quote-unquote Battle of the Arcades, but you can, right now, with the Quadcade Championship, it's it shows how easy it is to get multiple arcades on board with running an event.
Yeah.
Like, that tournament, well, the concept was kind of floating around for a couple weeks.
It just came together.
The execution took 2 days. Yeah. It was just kind of like, hey, you need to pick four games right now.
Yeah. I'll enter it on Arcade, and that's it. I just took care of it and did it.
Yeah. Like, that says a lot that nobody's worrying about how things are going to run. It's like, it's already standardized. It's just like, you can just do stuff like that just that quick.
Yeah, that's because it's all built into Arcade.
Yep.
So it just works.
Wait till you see Arcade once we're done with it.
Cool. Once we're done. Cool. Next up, we've got a new Dark Presence Facebook group.
Yes. I'm happy to announce that we do have a new Dark Presence Facebook group. We're still going to be posting some information on the productions page, obviously. We've been posting a lot of information exclusively on the Dark Presence page, so please go to our Facebook page and like it and follow it. And we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on there. We have a much anticipated video showing actual gameplay.
Well, there's also the event coming up too.
We're going to try to get a video out there before the event, obviously, because we really want people to get involved and get behind it and see what it's all about. And I've literally came up with the idea for Dark Presence back in 94. So it's been most of my life working on this game.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing before the arcade opened. There was a 5-year hiatus when the arcade opened, and it's so amazing coming to the conclusion of it and seeing what people think. And it is definitely not playing like any other fighting game out there. A lot of the, like the arcade, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we want to explore and see what we can do, stuff that hasn't been done, not just copycat other games that are out there. And we're trying to take a fresh look at fighting games.
And cool. It'll be the event?
August 5th.
August 5th? Okay.
Yes.
And it will be playable to the public?
It will be playable 5 characters. There'll be a bunch of backgrounds. We're going to be showing off weather variations. If I ever have 10 minutes to record some music, there'll even be music. But,
cool.
Yeah,
August 5th, then.
August 5th. Don't miss it. Everybody, again, has been working super hard. Will has been just tearing up the code end of it. Jeremiah, Brandon, Phil, Nick, Eddie, Milo.
What about Sam?
Even Sam. Integral part of the production team.
Cool.
So, cannot wait. Please show up to this event. We really want everybody to check it out. Can't wait to hear what everybody says.
Awesome. All right. We have a few new things available behind the counter. We've got the Galloping Ghost Arcade mugs.
Yes.
If you haven't seen those, check them out. They're $18. They're really nice quality.
We already sold through once.
We sold through one batch. We just got our second batch a little while ago.
Yep.
We've got new Galloping Ghost Arcade like stickers. Like, they're really big for cars. Like, yep. You can see them on the car. What else do we have that's new? We got the drink cozies.
Yeah, those were a missed ship.
Yeah. But we'll sell them anyway.
But we'll sell them.
Yep.
It's fine. Jeff Lee was in here the other day. He presented me with a new original Qbert drawing, Me, Myself, and I. And Jeff signed a bunch of them.
Cool.
Legendary game creator Jeff Lee.
Is that one for sale?
Yes, I believe it is.
It's in the news.
In the front counter.
Front counter, okay.
I think they're $5.
Yep, the small prints are $5, yeah.
Custom artwork by the creator of Qbert himself.
Cool.
And also Brian Colon had brought in some artwork of his. I had talked to him. I think he's bringing in some more as well. So Rampage posters and General Chaos and Spy Hunter artwork and so many great pieces of artwork from Brian. Make sure you check out those at the front counter as well.
Yep. Yeah, we still have the Hubert statues as well.
We do also have Hubert statues. We have some MK statues. Mm-hmm. Mike is always busy making bead art.
Yep.
We also have the newest issue of Little Player.
Yes.
Huge shout outs to Martin Alessi. They've been making some huge strides and things.
Yeah, just recently they got the you're able to subscribe on Amazon.com now.
Yeah, that's
which
massive.
Is pretty huge. Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats.
A lot of publicity.
Yep.
And I'm happy for him. I'm really hoping it's going to take off.
Me as well. It's a magazine for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Only E-rated games.
E and E10 is the only ones open.
E10.
And there's no advertisements.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, to see a magazine without advertisements, I mean, you don't see that really anymore.
Well, like, I forget what Bangs is looking at. It's 60% ads.
It is, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And this is all content. There's reviews by younger players as well. Little players, you might say.
Yes.
that I think the younger players can really connect to, and definitely they have subscriptions, and if you want to check out a single issue, we have them at the front counter.
Yep. Right by the register. We'll show them to you.
Yep.
Cool. It's been a while since we didn't bring this up. Chris Plackey got his 10K achievement prize.
Yes. Chris was actually the first person to
ever
7 years to take our achievement books, push it to the max, and he got 10,000 points, and in return he got a full-size arcade cabinet for his house.
That's awesome. And he took, what did he get, a Neo Geo?
He got a Neo Geo.
That's awesome.
It had, I think he ended up getting a 161.
Yeah, he got the 161 in one cart.
Yeah.
For it, which is a smart thing to do when you want to play as many games as possible.
For sure, for sure. So congrats to him for doing that. It actually worked out all really well. Jeremy Fox from Prince Arcades happened to be selling one, and we asked Chris what game he wanted, and just everything worked out, and we were able to get that for him and have it delivered. And
very cool.
Since then, like, you see how many Neo Geo games he's playing.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty well in all of them.
Yeah,
so
it's awesome.
Congrats to Chris.
We have been out of our achievement lists for a little bit. We will be doing another one. I'm just a little behind on that, but that will be coming very soon.
Cool. Yeah, we've got a lot of people asking at the front counter.
Yeah.
We'll get it. Give us some time. All right, so we've got a lot of Monday mystery games to go over.
Just list them.
Just list them all?
Just list them.
Should I even list who won the Monday mystery game?
No.
No?
It's always Mossies or Tibbets or...
yeah, one of those two guys usually wins. Sometimes Gores wins.
All right, let's see. Let's start with Lunar Rescue,
mm-hmm.
which Jamie Tibbets won.
Yes.
It's a great Taito game. Followed by Dio, which
great shmup.
Excellent shmup released from Sammy, which got so much attention drawn. JT and the Hambone actually covered it in the newest episode of Shmuppin.
Yep.
Which, man, I really like those. Like,
yeah.
They're great, very high production value.
The production is great on those. I do like watching those.
Dio will actually be getting a new cabinet very soon.
Cool.
Not happy with the cabinet that's in. Terrible monitor on it. So we're gonna get something much better for it.
Nice. And he has since CC'd it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's awesome. Very fun game. 6-button shooter.
Yeah, you don't see that every day.
Don't see that ever outside of Dio.
Yep.
Next up, Nintendo's Super Punch Out,
mm-hmm.
which Jamie Tibbets took that as well. I got that shipped in from somewhere, and it's been so long I don't remember.
That's all right. The important thing is we have it.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Mike Waters come from out of town to win Fast Freddy.
great Atari game that we picked up out at Jonathan's out in Decatur.
I know him and James went back and forth for hours that day. So yeah. It was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, always great to have Mike Waters in. Mm-hmm.
Then next up, Eight Man. Neo Geo game, Neo MVS.
Yes.
And of course, Chris won that, the world record holder.
Awesome game.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy that game a lot. It's very, very unique, like beat 'em up. Next up, we had Bank Panic.
Bank Panic was one I'd always liked the game. I never spent much time on it. And at T20, Jamie, I had made some comment about games that I had seen recently. And Jamie, I saw Bank Panic out in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And mentioning it, Jamie was like, "Oh, I love that game." He's like, there was in some tournament, and everybody was all
in. I think most of the regulars have really gotten into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But that was one I remember we had, I had passed on it.
Really?
And just hearing everybody being so excited about it, I was like, "Oh, I have to go remedy that and make
Even
sure
Jeremiah got into it."
Jeremiah's been playing it constantly, and it's a really fun game. It's a really fun game.
Cool. Next up, Qbert's Cubes.
Qbert's Cubes, sequel to Qbert. Great game, great addition to the floor. Quite a project to get that together. Original style cabinet, reproduction artwork, original marquee, new bezel, like control panel artwork. Great game. Everybody really seemed to get into that one as well.
I think people are still playing that. I think Matt Walters just recently took the house high on that one, too.
One of the other things we found in our searches, we've come across a set of ROMs that is unreleased anywhere, and it's a horizontal version of Qbert Cubes.
Crazy.
And it was just kind of happen chance that we found somebody with it. And they don't want to sell it, but we were able to get a copy of the ROMs.
Oh, good.
And we are working on... One, Jeff Lee doesn't remember it at all. Neil Bernstein, I believe is his name, as I... My memory fails me, but he doesn't even... He's the programmer on Cubes, but doesn't ever remember this thing existing.
Whoa, that's weird. Maybe did someone bootleg it?
It has to be a Gottlieb thing because it there's so much to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all new artwork for the title screen, and the aspect ratio is different, and it looks like something that they would have done either as a test for a console version or
for conversions, maybe
for a conversion kit to a horizontal. But it's unsettling that the programmer doesn't remember it at all.
Yeah,
so, but weird. Definitely an amazing piece of almost lost history.
Mm-hmm.
And
if I were going to play that game, I'd play that version. I'm better at everything horizontal.
Not even Cubes. You could play Cubes.
Maybe. I got to figure it out. All right. So next up, Splat. Twin stick shooter.
Oh, Splat. There's a huge story behind Splat.
Yeah.
Should I save that for now, or just...
Well, you did a big write-up on it, too.
There was a huge write-up.
Yeah.
I do have to credit game designing legend George Petro for making that game happen. He helped find... He got us so much of the artwork, and basically, I really wanted to get that game together just because, like, George was like, you'll probably never find one.
Yeah.
And an amazingly long... journey in making that cabinet, easily our most complicated build. I guess we'll mark that down as something that we have to talk about later, because there's a lot that wasn't even in that write-up.
Okay.
But,
next up,
Massey's took that.
He took that one. That's right. Next up, Reactor.
Reactor, Tim Skelly game from Gottlieb.
It's kind of a fun game.
It's a
very
great
unique
game. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Another full restoration project. We had that cabinet.
Since day one, right?
Yeah, that was off of our first batch of game, first 114 machines. It arrived here as a Ghosts and Goblins,
mm-hmm.
and then it changed to a Gladiator cabinet for a little bit. And then when we bought another Gladiator cabinet, that freed that up, and it was time to do a full restoration on Reactor. And I think it turned out fantastic.
It did. It really did.
It was a lot of fun doing that one.
It was cool that Jeff Lee came out and played it on stream that one day, too.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, let me take a shot at this. He had a pretty good score, too. He had over 30,000.
Yeah.
That's good. And Peter Gores won that one for that Monday Mystery Tournament. Next up, Darius. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Darius was... There's another huge story for Darius. Should we save it for this one, or...
Yeah, save. We should save it for next.
Save it.
One.
All right. Well, we got to make sure that gets marked down because that's also an amazing story, and I do need
it's an amazing
to.
Game too.
I need to give thanks to Xyla one for putting me in touch with Andrew Welburn, who was able to fix our board set and make that happen. Darius was a game that, again. Huge story behind it. We'll have to catch up with it on the next podcast, which will happen very soon. So,
you say that with a smile.
Well, I know.
Are you crossing your fingers?
No. Okay. No.
All right. So, who won Darius? Fred DeHart won Darius. I think the first day he played that, there were some good day one scores on that game. I think he was over 2 million on that on his first day. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's like I think just past Fatty Glutton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Congrats to him.
Yeah, I oh man, that game is so good. We're approaching our the next Monday Mystery Games. We had two, but one of them went down pretty quickly afterward. Granny and the Gators and Baby Pac-Man came out on the same day.
That was yes, they did.
which are, if you're unaware, they're mixed to their video pins.
Hybrid. They have both put out by Bally Midway.
Mm-hmm.
Very unique games. Baby Pack, the one that we got, huge shout outs to our Master Tech Seth Young and Doug Fox, who helped us get that one. Granny and the Gators came again from Jonathan out in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
Both very rare. Well, Baby Pack not that rare.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of Granny and the Gators before.
Yeah, there's if you look on KLOV.com, that kind of keeps track of who has what games. There's less than 10 of them, even in the collector scene.
Wow.
So,
Mossy's had won that one.
Yep.
For
Granny. Yeah,
for Granny and the Gators, yep. And then next week we released our 600th game.
Yeah, that was quite a big one for us. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to make it something unique and special. It was something that I had been looking for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it was released only in Japan. There's rumored to be less than 200 of them made only in Japan. There's supposed to be like maybe 10 of them here in the U.S. From what the rumors are, it's hard to have any specific numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened upon it, and it was really a timing thing. Like, we found it out in Colorado, and it took forever to get it here. And I was so concerned about it.
To not happening for 600?
It was. It was like we were going... There wasn't really a great substitute for such a big number game, though. Like, we had something, but it. We really wanted something that the name would be instantly recognizable. And even so many of the vetted collectors out there were like, oh, I didn't even know that thing existed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that Bradley came out.
Yes.
Who's a super collector from Wisconsin, who's got an amazing collection. It's Silver Coin Arcade. Like, check out his Facebook page, and huge shout outs to him. And he's been stopping by more, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people. We had the guys from... the all Sega Bits,
yeah.
Yes, they were in, and it was really really fun. Being such a huge Sega fan,
I think no one in the stream chat was ready either. Like, they were all like, I may have seen this on 32X, but I didn't know it was an arcade game.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was very cool to unveil that as number 600. I think it'll be memorable.
Definitely.
The following week we did that was Shmups week.
Mm-hmm.
So we unveiled two mm-hmm. for 601 and 602. It's Escaluda.
You did it. You said it right.
Yep. Escaluda. I work on it as I'm riding around on my motorcycle. I just say that name over and over and over. And Death Smiles. Mm-hmm. So two cave shmups. I think everybody was really into both of them.
Yeah.
Like Death Smiles, such a cool looking game. I thought everybody would be all about Death Smiles, and they were both equal. Like mm-hmm. everybody.
Now it seems more people are getting on Espeluta.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, it's you know, and those are cave games, so there's a lot of replay. There's a lot of learning the mechanics, and Zerst put up monster scores on both that they're going to be trying to challenge for. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Next week we put up Star Wars Racer.
Yes.
In which Stephen Lucas was in from out of town that week, and he won that one coming in from out of town.
That's awesome. Yep. Congrats to him. Glad to have that back on the floor. We had that was on the floor for a while, and then it left. It was just a little too finicky for our floor. We ended up selling it to Geeks Mania, our friends over there in Wisconsin. They worked on it, got it running real nice, and they're having a lot of success with it, and
cool.
People love that game.
Yeah,
we were very happy. My big thing I didn't like was how the one of the brakes was, because it had been modified and it was just problematic here.
Oh, it didn't use the lever. It used
well. It has a shifter brake on it, and that original one that we had been re-drilled and it had been modified too much, and I just wanted an original dedicated one that didn't have any mods on it. And the one that we picked up from, again, got it from Jonathan out in Decatur mm-hmm. on one of the many trips, and brought it back, and we had an incident on it the next few days after it was out.
Yeah.
But since then, we've already got that back fixed and working. Somebody's playing a little too rough on it and messed up the I.O. board.
Yeah.
But we've been shifting things around. I think it's actually down right now because I asked Seth to put a bunch of fiberglass inside.
To reinforce it?
Yeah, the back of the pod. Because that was another thing I didn't like, that the seat was actually cracked really bad. And we were taking some precautions for that on our new one. So.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yep.
And finally, last week, we released Metal Slug 6 to the arcade floor.
Yeah, on the Atomos Wave, Sega's hardware. Great Metal Slug game. It had Ralph and Clark from Ikari Warriors join the Metal Slug team. It's an original dedicated cabinet mm-hmm. that we picked up from Troy Smith.
Mozzie's won that one. He's at number 9 now, I think, for the 10X chase.
Next week could be the week.
Could be.
If he wins, he'll be the first person to retain the belt.
The 20X belt. There's a new belt. No.
New belt. You know, I wish that the 10X belt was so much fun. I'm kind of... It's unfortunate that everybody's not really going after it still.
Yeah, they're... Lately, they've been on, like, just their projects. Or, like, for Shmups Week, it was all about the shmups. Lately.
Right.
It's about the two shmups that you put out. But yeah, it's kind of just gone by the wayside a little bit.
Yeah. Happy to see the Hardcore Championship still...
Mm-hmm. Still going strong.
Yeah.
Currently, Tibbetts has it, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Tibbetts is the current Hardcore Champion. So if you see Tibbetts around the arcade, make sure you challenge him.
And beat him.
Beat him. Or not. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Cool. Well, that does it for all of our Monday Mystery Games. Man, that was a lot.
Yeah. There's... I'm finally starting to become a little concerned about our
about what?
Ticking time bomb of floor space.
That hasn't concerned you before?
No. It's never been a problem looking into the fourth dimension and seeing more space. But I don't know. We will hopefully have some expansion announcements soon. Otherwise, we might have to suspend stop. The Monday Mystery Game.
Yeah, suspend, not stop. Just lay low for a little bit type thing.
Yeah, like as soon as we have the space...
There's going to be more.
There'll be tons more. tons more games coming.
Cool.
We currently have still 100. I think we're around 140 games in the vault right now.
It's crazy.
And I've been saying that for a long time. And it's staying at 140 because there's always new stuff coming in.
Yeah, when you put a new game out, I think you have to buy one to put it in to balance it, right? That's the rule.
Well, as soon as the next expansion comes, first and foremost, alleviate some of the choke points on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like an arcade's worth of games going on the floor. That expansion is going to be monstrous. I'm super excited for it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah, so like we really kind of touched on most of the things I want to touch on. We glossed over scoring a bit, but I just wanted to say thanks for bearing with us and dealing with our lack of updates on the podcast, or lack of podcasts, I should say. We had a lot of stuff come up in the last few months, and we hope to be doing these more often. Send us your feedback as a response to this post when I post this, and we can hopefully address it. We've got a few other things we could cover, though.
Up to you.
Okay. You know, we had a few other things we can touch on before we want to kind of wind down. Last time we didn't talk about our arena showing up on Red Bull TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
That happened,
yeah. For the longest time, we couldn't speak of Arena. It was the game that could not be mentioned.
Yeah, that was our prototype game that really... It stemmed from our Argus event when David Bonecutter came in and he brought us a Gottlieb board from his attic. And that's another long story. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the... can we put a link to that in...
Yeah, I'll definitely link that video.
All right, cool. It was definitely a very cool filming that. It was a very, very professional shoot. I think that was too big of a story for the allotted time of the sequence.
Plus, it was kind of sharing time with the Kong-Off. Like, the video was split between two topics.
Yeah.
And each of those topics deserve its own video, I think.
Yeah. There was so much to it, and it... didn't really capture a lot of the amazingness of what went into that build. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely check out the Red Bull thing and appreciate them contacting us and doing it around us. And
yeah.
It's great to be a part of that. And there's a lot of great other things within that series. So.
Cool. I have only checked out that video. I'll have to watch some of the other ones.
Yeah, no, there's some good
ones. But I did like seeing the Kong-Off stuff in there.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
We have a few cabinet upgrades we could go over.
Sure.
Okay, might as well do those. First up, E-SWAT.
Yes, we got an original...
One of my favorite games.
Original dedicated Dynamo. Our original game was in a Circus Charlie.
That's right, yeah.
Which was one of those... Like, you can do conversion. That's how we got our E-SWAT, I believe. No, there was an Altered Beast in that when we got it. And we put E-SWAT in there because early on that was the only cabinet we had. But now we have an original dedicated Dynamo. And that was always... There's a few cabinets still on the floor that I just do not like. That was one of them.
Yeah, the player two was kind of scrunched on that one.
Player one was kind of scrunched
on
that one.
They both were, yeah.
So very happy to have a nice, original, dedicated E-SWAT.
We also, I didn't list it in my list, but we also upgraded our Night Slashers.
Yes. That one, we picked that up out in Colorado. It popped up on the Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And worked out a deal. Super rare game from Data East. Definitely a very cool game.
I really got into it after you upgraded the cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Our original was... I don't even remember. It was just some random... Mm. Nothing specific. But to have... the one that we have has side art, an original marquee, original bezel, control panel overlay. Like, that's...
Looks really nice.
Yeah. Nice monitor in it.
Mm-hmm. The sound's really nice and crisp.
Yeah.
Adds to that game immensely. Just recently, we had our Crime Fighters upgraded as well.
Yes. We had done a few upgrades on that. We had Crime Fighters in originally in a deluxe cabinet split with Vendetta.
Right.
Which, that was cool. That's what the cabinet should have been. We ended up going into the smaller, more compact four-player version. We had original control panel art, original bezel, and we bought an original marquee as well. So that cabinet was looking pretty nice, but then we just found an original deluxe cabinet, like with a wider control panel, with full side art.
So us bigger players appreciate the extra space.
Well, in that artwork, there's so few pictures of it, and I love the way Konami did all their cabinet art with
all the 90s live actors.
The live actors, yeah. And it's so cool, and it brings so much more to it. And our cabinets are currently very tight, but that artwork is not preserved anywhere, and it is very much worth it for us to upgrade a cabinet so we can scan in all the artwork so we do have it. For preservation reasons.
Yep.
Huge thanks. Sam has been driving around so much and going so many places.
It's like a madman.
Yeah, I think he drove out to Colorado for us.
Cool.
He picked up the Crime Fighters in Kentucky. So he's going everywhere. We're cool. Gearing up for the next couple of trips for him to go get some other cool stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
We recently had a joystick upgrade on Dragon Spirit, right?
Yes, Dragon Spirit, we changed from an IL stick to original Atari ball top.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. I don't like that it's actually rotated. Mm-hmm. I got to check and see if I can fix that on it. So.
Wait, what do you mean it's rotated?
The Atari logo is...
Oh, it's not facing directly?
Not facing how it should be facing.
Okay.
So that is one thing I still have to fix on that. I forgot who I even talked to. There's a few things that we want to get the... I know Solar Fox is on our list to get the right stick on that. Gyrus needs an original Monroe stick. Indiana Jones needs an original ball top. So there's a lot of these little things that they're not escaping us. It's just, again, there's
not
so much...
Yeah.
Well, it's not even... Some of them, like I have a Monroe stick now.
Oh,
I need some time to go put it on.
Okay.
And as you can see from our Facebook, we've been doing so many new, like, cabinet fixes and upgrades. And there's just so many things to do within one day.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Next we had Shadow Dancer going to a new cabinet.
Yes. That was a much debated if Shadow Dancer even had an original cabinet.
Mm.
And somebody on KLOV discovered a manual that showed that cabinet outline.
Wow.
Being the original dedicated. So happy to get that one. I forget where we had that shipped in from. But
it looks like it's like a pre-candy candy cabinet, like before the candy cabinet was a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like one. The wood candy cabinet.
Great monitor in it.
Yeah.
Very nice cabinet.
We had Ghouls and Ghosts put in a dedicated cabinet as well.
Yes. That used, again, a Dynamo cabinet. Sega and Capcom used the same Dynamo cabinet for a lot of games. But so nice to get one specifically for Ghouls and Ghosts. Get the original side art, control panel, and marquee on it.
Yeah, there's some great artwork on that cabinet, too.
Yeah.
We had a new control panel overlay on Millipede, so Duke can tear it up.
Yep. All those little things, yep. Like the some of the stuff that has just been ripped over the years, like we're constantly trying to fix anything and everything.
Yeah, there was just like a big palm mark right in the middle, like where the palm rests for the trackball on that one.
Part of it is cool, just because that's the wear of the game. Like, that's people loving that machine and playing it. But sometimes you just gotta fix that stuff.
Yeah. And finally, our King of Fighters 12 and 13 are in Neo Geo cabinet separated.
Yes.
And they're on original hardware, no consoles anymore.
Right. And they're both on Taito Type X2s, so very happy about that. And there was having some heat issues, I think, which made 13 down for a bit. So happy to have that one separated and working properly. And glad to see people playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And good news that it's looking like King of Fighters 14 will have an arcade release.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, I thought it was because it came out on console just recently, right?
Yeah, they're apparently going to be doing some even more balances and patches, and going to be putting it out, I believe, by the end of this month. If it either came out right at the end of last month or it's coming out at the end of this month.
Nice. I had no idea.
I don't even know what hardware it's on, but I believe Arcade Heroes had a story on it.
Cool. That's Adam Pratt's site.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that's all I had.
Cool. Well, why don't we wrap this one up?
Wait.
Yep.
One more thing.
One more thing.
What are you playing?
Oh.
Are you playing anything at this point?
I'm playing something every day. But if
you
ask...
Did you play Darius?
I have been playing a ton of Darius. Well, not a ton. Yeah. I have one CC at all the time.
All the time. It's nothing. That's nothing now.
It's nothing now.
Nice.
Definitely enjoying Darius very, very much. Yeah, I'm just kind of randomly playing a little bit of everything now.
I see you go against Shinakuma every now and again, too.
That was a while ago. I've stopped that. I haven't played that.
Okay.
Played some Turkey Shoot. Yeah, just kind of all over the place.
Okay.
But nothing particular.
Okay.
What about you?
I have kind of been bouncing around. Like, I was on... what was I playing? I was playing Darius Burst on Monday, and...
what a good game.
It's an amazing game. I was playing King of Fighters 13, and the last couple days I've been playing Cobra Command.
What's your next one, CC?
Might be Cobra Command. I don't know. We'll see. I'll try to go for that one.
Awesome.
I'm adjusting to the controls. The helicopter controls are really something in that game. Like, if you press forward, you move about 2 inches forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to simulate a helicopter. Your helicopter can't just, like, move slightly. It can up and down, just not forward and backward.
Right.
So I'm taking my time trying to get used to that. After that, maybe Final Fight, finally. We'll see.
Finally Fight?
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I think I'm done playing Night Slashers. I did the 1cc here, and then I did a no-death run at home. So I'm kind of satisfied with that one now.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Well, we've got a lot coming up. Make sure everybody's checking our events. Hope to see everybody at them.
Yeah, definitely.
Pete will have a lot of things to put in the notes and links and such.
Yep, check them out.
So, get ready. We're going to be doing another podcast probably by early next week. Maybe by Wednesday of next week or Thursday. Probably within a week.
Okay.
Maybe sometime next month.
All right. We'll see.
We'll get one very soon. We don't want to fall behind like we did this time. Again, we appreciate any feedback. Reach out to myself or Pete and let us know what you like or what you don't like.
Gamer profiles, too.
If you want to do gamer profiles, just pretty much anything.
Yep.
So, thanks everybody. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Join us hopefully on Monday for our next Monday mystery game. We always have some news and info on the pre-stream.
Yep, we try to stream to Facebook now too, but always catch us on Twitch.
Yep.
twitch.tv/GallopingGhostArcade.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening. This is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade with former Game of the Year Pete Hahn. And we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.